Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fly the Coop. I am your host, Carrie Ann Carter. After 22 years in the real estate business, I've seen my fair share of people, stories, and experiences fly the coop in one way or another. This podcast is all about telling those stories. Let's jump into the coop. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Fly the Coop. I am so excited to introduce you to my guest today, Bill O'Connell, also known as Billy, William, and all kinds of other names we're going to talk about. Welcome, welcome, Bill. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell everybody, where are you from, Bill?
Where are you now? I am from the beautiful town of Scottsdale, Arizona.
Love it down there.
And, yes. And we are experiencing better weather than you guys right now.
Yeah, you think? I don't think that's hard to do at all. You know, I want to share before we dig in, so we have so much to talk about with all of you. All of us in Minnesota love warm climate states, and Arizona, Bill, is a big one. I want to share with everyone your friendship with my newly found and loved Kevin Coulter, our new sales director of the Carrie Ann Carter Group. You and he are longtime friends, and he highly recommended you. And of course, with our interest in exploring our partnerships in warm climates, it was an obvious to bring you on the show today, especially now.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Carrie Ann.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to visit with you because we have like a three-part, I call it the perfect trifecta when it comes to where we live in the country. Highly desirable, very rooted, and our partnerships in warm climates because of our weather, which we're experiencing right now. We're supposed to have this epic storm, which was sort of epic, not really. I think we have 18 inches out here, and we've got a huge population, Bill, as you know, of people who want a break. And we'll look at one of three things: VRBO, investment property, second home property. That's an investment as well. And they'll VRBO it and use it when they want. And just plain investors who love the idea of buying property and renovating it. And maybe they keep one of them and use it on occasion. And then they cash flow that and sell the rest. Just tell us, I know you're very involved with all of that. Tell us what your take is right now on the market, A, in Arizona, in Scottsdale, and B, what can you share with the audience that they may not know already about the advantages of having an investment or second home in Scottsdale or in the Arizona area? There we go. That's the foundation.
Okay. So yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to start with. But in any event, as far as Arizona goes, we are very, very low on inventory. Just prior to the end of the year, we got up to 21,000 homes on the MLS. Mm-hmm. We are now back down into the 15,000 range.
Oh, wow.
Which seems, you know, for a lot of people, that might seem like a lot of homes, but in reality, you're talking maybe a 2.5 to 3 month supply. We're mm-hmm. selling about 6,000 homes a month.
Okay.
So the challenge is, aside from the interest rates, that's slowing the things as far as the purchasing down. But in terms of our inventory, it's really not moving the needle a bunch as far as lowering. So we're not, you know, when everybody's talking about the big crash and what we're, you know, what is happening or going to happen to Arizona as a mm-hmm. whole, and you know, Phoenix being the largest metro area, there's not a lot of inventory, and there's, you know, the home builders have ceased doing any kind of building at the moment, other than filling the current orders.
Right.
So we're not changing. We're not getting a big change in flow there. Mm-hmm. There's still you know, average day on the market is about 60 days. Mm-hmm. So if I were to help a client right now, I'd be certain to be looking at the days on the market to maybe give us a little bit more leverage to buy, mm-hmm. And argue a you know, a price reduction. So that could be helpful for a lot of people if they were in fact to get onto the game right now.
Right.
I think if you wait, we might be right back into the same problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in your experience, there was a little window, by the way. I lived in Scottsdale back when my daughter was young because she had some allergy issues. And we lived there for almost, oh, it's 18 months we lived down there. It was in the deep dive of the recession, right? So I ended up having my license. I got my license down there, which was not easy to get. Probably one of the most difficult licenses in the country, by the way, in my perspective. And that's what I was told. I thought the real estate down there was amazing. Like, I love it down there. I think that there's such a beautiful aesthetic, and it is in all price points. Like, you can be all over the board here. You can find something fabulous and have a second home for $400 to $600, or you can go into the luxury market as well. And I know you kind of play on all fronts. If you were to work with a client from a cold climate state, what would you recommend that they do? Like, what's your favorite play right now for those that are in northern climates that are looking at your market when you're meeting them? What are they looking at, and how is that inventory flow right now?
Okay, well, I think some of the things that a lot of people don't take a look at is what's really happening in just overall industry here. Mm-hmm. We are an absolute hotbed for high tech now. We are gaining more and more momentum. So if I were to be coaching someone, let's just talk strictly being an investor.
Right.
Let's I would go ahead and fill you in on some of these businesses, just to give you a couple examples. And I pulled them up, but anybody can verify any of these things. But we are fast becoming or being looked at as going to be the number one chip manufacturer in the country, and possibly pushing towards the world.
That was interesting.
Taiwan.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so Taiwan Semiconductor, which mm-hmm. is located near Peoria. There's a big subdivision called Anthem, which yep. maybe a lot of people have heard of. Mm-hmm. They're building a factory. Initially, they were going to start off with a $6 billion investment. Mm-hmm. They increased it to $12 billion. And now they have pushed it all the way up to $40 billion. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a game changer for that area of town,
for sure.
Along with a lot of distribution. So that's just one example. We're also a hotbed for the driverless vehicles. We've got, I think, registered 10 companies that are doing driverless vehicles. You can actually hop into a vehicle right now. In Chandler with no wow. driver at all. I've done it.
Oh my God.
It's super fun. And people are, they're a bit shocked when you know, FaceTime them, or if you're on your phone and you show them, it's almost disconcerting. But
wow.
at the same time, I feel very fortunate. But now, not only are they in Chandler, they just expanded to downtown Phoenix. They're also, this is Waymo, which is owned by Google. They are now also in San Francisco, which I also have a California license, and I work in the Bay Area.
Oh, interesting. Part-time. That's good to know. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to this. Are you saying that, is this like the future Uber? Like, what's the point? What are they?
Well, if you can well imagine, I just got done celebrating with my family, my mother's 90th birthday.
Okay. Congratulations.
She has to call, of course, taxis, services. This is a way for you to actually get picked up. You jump in the van, it brings you now. It's not in Rochester, Minnesota, but the whole idea of this is for, you know, cities like this to really become highly autonomous when it comes to the ride sharing and,
right.
and going to the airport and things of that sort.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's crazy.
These are just a few of the areas. There's also one other area, as an example, out in Buckeye. And mm-hmm. that is way on the west side of Phoenix.
Yep.
But Bill Gates is looking at doing a smart city out there. He's already purchased the land. Back in 2017, he spent $80 million.
Wow.
Again, a very bold move. Nothing has gone on yet as far as the building, mm-hmm. but I just saw that they just switched the title over to one of his other companies. And so they may be making ready to start, you know, laying some possible, you know, some, it's going to be a town about the size of Tempe. Tempe is about 170,000, just right. as a rough number.
Right.
But that'll take years. I mean, it'll be starting off small with maybe 10,000 people, but it'll be skyscrapers and, you know, data basic, you know, industry. And it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge.
I'm curious, Bill, what do you think the draw is when you look at, I mean, we're, we have two different kinds of conversations that we'll delve into today, but as a city and a state, in terms of its growth model and its attraction, what do you think the number one driver is? Like, what is that about? Because there's some...
I think it really... Yeah. So, you know, for years, I've been here since 1989. So mm-hmm. I've watched a lot of changes.
Yeah.
It was where we were struggling to supply the high tech industry with labor. So mm-hmm. the schools, ASU, U of A, they all have highly, highly educated or I should say programs for people to get into the high tech industry.
Right.
So now, the draw is the fact that we have the labor to support these high-tech jobs.
Right.
And not all of them are right. high-tech. I mean, when you talk about the semiconductor industry, you know, you're going to have labor that will only require a high school education, mm-hmm. but they're going to have to know, like, maybe, you know, Excel and some tech to it, but not a lot. That's right. a low-end job. Probably the 40,000, 50,000 range. And then you just go up to the astronomical seven-figure income for engineers and people who are at the higher end of that. So, mm-hmm. but we have a good, you know, we really lost a lot of labor years ago from the housing industry.
Right.
And so now these jobs that are here are really getting more and more and more where you're going to have some kind of education to, mm-hmm. to be functional and really afford to live here.
So I've always wondered, because I have people that ask me about it, when you look at energy in that part of the country, and you look at water conversation, like as growth happens, finding your water, what's the conversation about that? Like, what do you share with people when they're looking at relocation and or a second home and or an investment? What are the long-term projections on managing energy and water in that area? I'm just curious your perspective on that.
Wow, that is such a huge part of the conversation here at all times. Mm-hmm. And it has been since I've been here.
Yeah.
Water, I have a very good friend who actually used to teach water rights at one of the local real estate schools, mm-hmm. Stan Strom.
Yeah.
And through the years, I've continued to stay in contact with him. We used to be business partners. And the big thing about water is that when it comes to building a home, and when you are, let's say, you know, just Lennar, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're going to build a subdivision, each and every home has to have a 100-year guaranteed water supply,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that in itself, so you've got water allocation. So they are not going to give you a permit without knowing that the water supply is going to be there. You know, we're not just on the Colorado River water supply. We have aquifers here. We draw a lot of groundwater. Mm-hmm. So today, I mean, I'm at an age where I don't know if I'll ever see it, but you know, there may be way, way down the road, some issues, but you know, it seems like there's a chess game going on, and I don't know, I'm no water, you know, expert,
yeah.
but I can just tell you that some of it is a little bit concerning to me mm-hmm. because I know they're, you know, like the Indian Reservation has given up some of their water rights, and then they lease those to home builders.
Right.
So it's kind of that chess game of who's got the rights
mm-hmm.
And who can build. There was a little bit of a story that happened about 2 weeks ago I come to find out that a home builder is building homes for rental only. So the whole subdivision is going to be rental.
Okay.
To, just rentals.
Yeah, you're seeing more of that right now. Interesting.
Yeah, and with that, because they're not selling the homes, mm-hmm. they don't need to guarantee the 100-year water supply.
Interesting.
So I'm hoping not to see a lot of these big, you know, these big REITs and insurance funds come in here and start doing more and more of that, because really, at any given time, you know, they could subdivide, you know, go back to selling those homes, but then they're going to have to, you know, reassure that 100-year water supply.
Right. I did not know
that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge security blanket for sure, because I do know that it comes up frequently, like the conversations I have for those that are looking to be a double state owner, you know, maybe make primary residence in Florida or Arizona. Those are the two targeted states right now for this state of Minnesota in terms of second home ownership because of weather. It just happens. It's not unique to just us. The Midwest area is known for a very rooted, family dynamic where they're not going to ever leave. Like, there's always going to be a home here. However, in that length of life, they will buy something in a warm climate. And Arizona is on the top three list. And depending on who you talk to, the number one list. So it always comes up. Every conversation, believe it or not, I'm like, what do you think about the water down there? Like, is there going to be water when I move? And I'm like, I think so. Yeah. I do see there in our lifetime, I don't see that changing. I do see the same thing you see, Bill. I think that there's something's going to have to give, because they're continuing to expand on population. And there is absolutely a drought happening in that part of the country. That's a real thing. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I also have a very good friend of mine who is part of a development company. I have a lot of these conversations with people. Yeah. So part of this also is that, you know, he made the point that when it comes to the household water supply, let's say it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. They figure on a family being there, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's a certain amount of water that that they'll use every day.
Right.
These estimates are way over what is being used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are very good at having complete, you know, subdivisions with zero escaping, where it's got just cactus and very low level, low water needed for, you know, landscaping, no big, you know, lawns going in, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Arizona as a whole has really paid attention all along, ever since I've been here. And they're always pushing. I mean, even some of the cities will give you money to change your lawn out for zero escaping.
Right.
So it would be rocks and cactus and that sort of thing.
It's part of the sacrifice. So I don't want to say sacrifice. It's a beautiful aesthetic, but it is part of the agreement to living in a water or lack of a drought tolerant environment. That's part of the game of having the life down there.
Right. It's
being kumbaya with Mother Nature. Like, everybody's got their own thing, right? So that's one of them for Arizona.
There's a lot of artificial turf.
Yeah.
And the aesthetics, if you're looking at talking about aesthetics, it's not bad. It really isn't. And there's all kinds of different ways of, you know, kind of making yourself feel more removed from, you know, but mm-hmm. hey, if you're going to be in the desert, why not, you know, why not
embrace
it? Accept that part of that. Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's why you're going to keep your home in Minnesota.
Right.
So you can go back to the big trees and the grass and the, you know,
snow.
The different type of. Yeah. Right. Right. So so it's really, you know, it really does come down to, you know, most of the people that come down here as snowbirds or investors that, you know, I mean, I sell homes to investors that they don't even ever really see the house other than pictures.
Yeah. There's
because they're buying for the future.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, and they're buying for the future. So they're not really that wrapped up into what, you know. But when it comes to rentals, I will tell you, I would highly recommend zero-scaping. Mm-hmm. You don't want your tenant pushing a mower because they're not going to do it.
No.
And all you're going to do is get fines from the HOA or from the city or both. Mm-hmm. So it's not a good idea if you're investing to have something that's not going to be low maintenance. And that's just a small part of investing.
Absolutely. Right? Well, let's talk about the investor right now. If you were to pick your top three sections of the city to invest in Phoenix right now, whether they're looking for a second home or an investment, maybe they're two different pockets, I don't know, or multiple answers to this, where would you recommend they look right now? If we were to say, Bill, we're sending you down a client and they are looking for something between 5 and 700, where would you be looking for that product right now?
Well, with 5 to 700, you could buy, you know, closer to the center of town, overall Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You could still buy in Scottsdale at that price. Now, you may need to eventually do some upgrades to it. I mean, if it's fully upgraded, you're probably pushing the 800,000 range now in Scottsdale. Yeah. But there are still houses to be had in the 5s, 6s, and 7s. But I think overall, if I were to be looking to invest, we refer to these as tertiary markets. Mm-hmm. So tertiary meaning third type markets.
Yep.
Casa Grande is a hotbed. Mm-hmm. There is a brand new plant out there doing electric cars, Lucid.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we have these cars that Lucid is producing. They were supposed to produce somewhere around 15,000 cars this coming year.
Okay.
But they're only now projected to do 10,000. But they're getting their act together.
Yeah.
These cars are starting off at 90,000 and go all the way up to $200,000.
That's nuts. Powering them won't be a problem because you've got plenty of sunshine. So you just need solar packs and you have electricity. I think one of the challenges with electric right now is power, right? But you guys are in a beautiful place with energy. I love Arizona for that reason, the green energy effort when it comes to solar, because you have that ability there. Not everybody does.
Right. Solar's and, awesome. And you know, even given that, I think that from what I'm reading and learning about electric cars, I don't have one myself. I have not pulled that trigger. I've considered it, but it's really when you're out on the road trying to find a charging station that's going to charge you up fast enough and get you back going. It's not, to me right now, it's not worth it. But over time, it might pan out that, you know, I buy something electric because, hey, it's a good thing for the environment, at least, you know, to a certain degree. So, you can make arguments, I guess, all the way around, but they're here. There's a hydrogen plant out in that another tertiary market, which is Florence.
Interesting. Another
Florence. Yeah. And Florence. So this company invested, I think, right around $600 million, and they're powering buses with hydrogen, which is the cleanest, really the truly cleanest of, I think, all possible energy, because it's just water is the end result after you're done with using hydrogen. So, or hydrogen is water, in fact. So, So it's where today we are continuing to go into these new areas, and we're drawing. And I think the state of Arizona has done a very good job in drawing these companies in, but also, you know, they do give them tax breaks for limited time if they stick around. I know we've had in the past some bad actors that have taken advantage of the tax situation and then they pulled out when tax time came. So they're getting better and better at managing that liability if they do pull out.
Right. Okay. So let's talk like people in the country. It doesn't have to even be just Minnesota, because Scottsdale, Arizona specifically, which you work, is such a magnet, such a beautiful community, right? So let's say you've got somebody from New York, you've got somebody maybe Atlanta, Minnesota, Wisconsin, anywhere in the country, and they are honed into buying something in Scottsdale and they want a fairly decent piece of real estate. In your mind, what communities are a favorite and what's your average sale price for that kind of product when you are really dissecting each little area, because Scottsdale is a personal favorite of mine. And I think it's the first thing that pops up in people's minds when they're looking at that kind of product. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that probably the more popular one that everybody hears, or most people will hear about, is McCormick Ranch.
Okay. Yep. Love it.
You know, it's right in the center of both South Scottsdale and North Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
So those are homes that were built, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of, the entire valley has been built, somewhat like a tree, where you've got these, the inner ring is built in the 60s, and then you go a little bit further away from that inner ring and you'll get into the 70s mm-hmm. and the 80s. So you'll see kind of like a storybook of time mm-hmm. on the architecture.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if you're a lover of older homes, Old Town Scottsdale, mm-hmm. where I live, yep. is built in the 60s, right after, you know, World War II. Now, mm-hmm. what you're going to give up there is for location. You're not going to have a big closet, you know, unless, I mean, you could certainly modify these homes now to right. a point where it's going to be more modern. But if you buy kind of that stock home, you're not going to have a walk-in closet. That's just not going to happen. Your bathroom is going to be, you know, quite small. It's not going to be elaborate. And so you kind of have to move, you know, further and further north to get into the more modern. So it depends on what you're looking for and what you want.
Right.
No HOAs, though, is a big plus when you come to Old Town. Mm-hmm. We don't have to deal with the bylaws of a HOA.
Right.
But then when you get into McCormick Ranch, that's a master plan community mm-hmm. and is fully managed by an HOA.
Right.
So I think that there's considerations. If you're not used to dealing with an HOA, quite mm-hmm. honestly, I have a lot of clients that just absolutely hate it when they're controlled, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
so
there is a huge faction of that whole area that is HOA operated. I mean, the gated community is a real thing down there. It's the common thing. It's more common than not. Like, you're not the norm being in a non-HOA community. That's most of it's HOA now.
Right.
And they're
And anything brand new is going to be HOA controlled. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed. Yeah. So those are things that, I mean, if you have a boat, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to just park it in your driveway, that mm-hmm. is not happening for the HOA, right?
Right.
So, you know, there's, mm-hmm. and some of them are very tightly managed and some of them aren't. But mm-hmm. I will tell you that I've had plenty of experiences of talking to either friends or past clients about, you know, the enforcement. And it seems that most of the HOA people that are the officers don't have anything better to do. So they're going to poke the bear and say, hey, you're not doing this or you're not doing that. So mm-hmm. if you don't like that sort of thing, I would automatically ask. I mean, I've got a whole list of questions that I like to get to know the client mm-hmm. and really understand what their likes and wants are. And if those are things that'll bother them, then let's not even look at an HOA.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Fly the Coop. Be sure you subscribe to the show and leave us a review. I sure would appreciate it. We'll see you next time in the coop.